How can we as healthcare practitioners move from just providing disease management to providing true healthcare? That is the question, and this is the answer. Welcome to Reinvent Healthcare, the podcast that helps you grow your practice and expand your skills as a practitioner. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. Let's dive in. I'm so excited that you can join me for today's episode of Reinvent Healthcare. Sugar causes more heart attacks than fat. This may sound shocking, but hang tight. In this episode, we'll explore the harmful effects of sugar and insulin resistance on the cardiovascular system. And it's not pretty. So how can I make such a dramatic claim? Let's look at the science. Let's look at the facts. We know that diabetes significantly increases the risk of developing cardiovascular disease. People with diabetes are at least twice as likely to develop heart disease compared to those without. Diabetes accelerates the development of atherosclerosis, leading to coronary artery disease, heart attacks, and stroke. Proper management of diabetes is crucial to reducing the risk of heart disease. These are all facts you can look up. So what about those who have out of control blood sugar, but not diabetes yet? Are they at risk too? Let's find out. As we know, insulin resistance is the inability of the hormone insulin to escort sugar into the cells. What results is high blood sugar and low energy in the cells. It's caused by many, many factors, lifestyle factors, diet, exposure to toxins, stress, lack of sleep. The biggest one, of course, is diet. If you look at the diet of the average person, I was going to say the average American, but unfortunately, it's rampant throughout the world. We're eating too much sugar, too much flour, too many ultra-processed foods with bad oils, and on and on and on. Insulin resistance, as it is, as a condition where the blood sugar fasting is over 100, it's underdiagnosed. There's a lot of people running around with insulin resistance who've never been told that they have it. Even worse, there's even more people who have pre-insulin resistance. They don't have a clue. Their doctors don't have a clue. Nobody's told them that they're at risk. They're living a lifestyle that's unhealthy. It's standard American diet. Unhealthy. Standard Western diet is unhealthy. And now even the Eastern diets, the diets in underdeveloped countries, third world countries, they're catching on because they think because a rich society can afford all this food that they want to mimic us. And then their disease rates go up. People that are living an unhealthy lifestyle oftentimes don't even know that it's unhealthy. And some people think the foods they're eating are healthy because the manufacturers say healthy on the label. Hint, hint, hint. If your clients are buying food that comes in a package, it's likely to be unhealthy because real food doesn't have a package. Real food doesn't have an ingredient list. Real food is the ingredient. So let's talk about exactly how insulin resistance and pre-insulin resistance impact the cardiovascular system. Ready to jump in? So here's the deal. Chronically high blood sugar damages the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels. And that leads to the buildup of plaque. Damaged endothelial lining attracts cholesterol and LDLs and all this stuff going by, and it builds up plaque. Plus, those damaged endothelial linings allow those lipoprotein particles to make their way into the lining, and that creates a plaque. Insulin resistance can induce a mitogenic response that induces the lining of the arterial walls to begin dividing, leading to thickening and stiffening of those walls. Which, guess what? If you've got thickened walls of the endothelium, your artery walls are thickened, yeah, you have to run for a bus or run away from a tiger or whatever you're running away from. And we need increased blood flow. They're too stiff to produce, and we can end up with heart attacks, strokes, and the like. Insulin resistance stimulates what's called the MAPK pathway, the mitogen activated protein kinase pathway. And that leads to cell proliferation and can potentially cause hypertrophy, enlarging of the heart. That's not a pretty picture either. Insulin resistance can inhibit nitric oxide production. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. So if we have an inhibition of nitric oxide, we end up with the inability to have blood flow easily through, and we end up with high blood pressure. Not a good thing, right? That's a cardiovascular problem, and high blood pressure can lead to strokes and also to heart attacks. Insulin resistance can reduce the ability of adipose tissue to clear lipids and to then store the circulating lipids. Insulin resistance can lead to increased triglycerides, increased LDLs, and decreased HDLs. That's not a pretty picture. That is atherogenic. Whenever you go to the doctor and get your blood lipids tested, they always say, oh, your HDLs are low and your LDLs are high. That's valid, right? And that's what insulin resistance is doing, and plus the triglycerides. When we look at somebody from a functional perspective, we want their triglycerides to be at least equal to or less than their HDLs. Majority of people don't have that. And that's a situation that says, hey, they have some insulin resistance going on. So you see where the risk factors lie. What do you do? As a functional practitioner, what do you do? Well, it starts with education. People need to understand this. People need to see the impact of the sugar and the flour and the high glycemic foods and the hydrogenated oils and all the yummy foods that they love on their cardiovascular system. It's not just about keeping your blood sugar steady to avoid diabetes, which is a biggie, right? Diabetes is the seventh leading killer of people in the westernized world, and insulin resistance can lead to heart attacks. It's a leading cause. In fact, insulin resistance is considered the top cause of sudden death from cardiovascular disease. Sudden death, top cause. Okay, so a lot of people say, well, I don't have diabetes in my family, so I'm not worried about this. And in reality, they all need to be concerned. 93% of the population is metabolically unwell. 93% of the population exhibits some form, some symptoms of insulin resistance. So we need to get this under control, and we need to educate them so they know it's not just about diabetes. Thinking you have just no family history doesn't really mean much, but it's about heart disease. And heart disease strikes people at every age, of every gender, and every stage of life. So we need to take control of this. We need to reverse insulin resistance. We need to be able to detect pre-insulin resistance before it becomes insulin resistance and before it becomes diabetes. And here's the wrap. The symptoms, the side effects, the negative things that can happen with diabetes, they start decades before diabetes is diagnosed. Decades. Think about that. So somebody says, oh, I'm fine. My fasting blood sugar is 96. Doctor says I'm fine. First of all, in a functional perspective, you know that 96 is not a good fasting blood sugar. We want it to be in the 80s or 70s even. And in the 90s, guess what? The statistics say that once the blood sugar goes above 90, there's a four-fold increase in risk of cardiovascular disease. Just take that in. So we need to talk to people. We need to educate them. We need to let them know that this is the risk that they're following. This is the risk that they have when they consume their favorite fast foods, when they eat their sugary donuts, when they eat their whole grain pasta even, that's shooting their blood sugars up. Right? So we go back to before the insulin resistance is even diagnosed, which in medicine, it's over 100. I think over 90, but it's more than just that. We can detect it, and we can help people detect it by doing postprandial glucose levels and looking at their insulin levels. Sadly, almost no doctors test anybody's fasting insulin until they're already diabetic. And what we see is that people have elevated insulin years or even decades before they develop diabetes. And it's a risk factor there. People are at risk for the peripheral neuropathies, the nephropathies in the kidneys, and the retinopathies, amongst other things, which is stiffening of the vessels in the heart and increased risk of heart attack and stroke. So we need to educate them. You need to understand. In our insulin resistance practitioner program, those of you who've been through it, you know, we go through great detail about how to detect this early, how to get people on board, and then how you can actually help them to reverse the insulin resistance, hopefully before the heart attack happens, before it happens. So how do we do it? Well, there are specific dietary approaches. In a nutshell, it's reducing, eliminating the impact of the high glycemic foods, sugar and all its relatives, agave, maple syrup, honey, etc., even the ones called healthy. Reducing or even eliminating the intake of any flour products, breads, pastas, rolls, crackers, etc., unless they're made without flour, because if there's a problem. Now, testing is critical, right? Some people might be able to eat all kinds of fruit and not have their blood sugar go up. Some people might, like me, have to be careful that they don't eat too much of the sweet fruits, like the pineapple and mango and papaya, all the yummy ones. But you have to reduce that and learn and teach them how to eat them to control their glycemic index. We go through all that in IRSPT. Also, exercise is super important, keeping moving, because muscles that are trained, they don't become insulin resistant. That's simple as that. Getting enough sleep. Majority of people in this world don't get enough sleep. They get 6 or less hours of sleep. They should be given 7 to 8. There have been studies that took someone who had insulin resistance, high levels, 119 or something was fasting blood sugar, and they put him on a diet of 9 hours of sleep a night. And he did that for 2 weeks, and the insulin levels dropped into a decent range. Not perfect, it was in the 90s, but well on his way. And then they said, well, let's experiment. What happens if we deprive you of sleep? And they said, okay, for the next whatever number of nights, no, you're not allowed to. But they just dropped him to 7 hours, not even down to the 6 and 5 and all that people are getting. His glucose went up. His fasting glucose went up. So it's really impactful on the metabolic system. So getting enough sleep and stress management, cortisol, the stress hormone, causes the increase of blood sugar. Why? Because we're supposed to be running away from a tiger, right? We're supposed to be energizing the body in the state of panic and stress. So that's an important piece. And you have to teach people all these stress management tools. And I think fasting is a good way. You know, whether it's intermittent fasting and you just get them to at least go 12 hours between dinner and breakfast. But if you can get them to go 14 to 16 or more, a few times a week even, then that's going to help to improve their glucose insulin metabolism. Another way is our Fasting While Feasting program. We'll put links in the show notes to this. Fasting While Feasting program, which gives them a 5-day diet that has been shown scientifically in the longevity research to decrease glucose, increase insulin, increase growth hormone, and get similar benefits of fasting and getting into ketosis. Mild state of ketosis is a healthy thing. Here's the thing. You have the power to help people. You have the power to impact people. Don't be afraid to set, you got to do the work. Don't be afraid to say, no, I don't just have a supplement for that. Like people want to go from allopathic to functional and they think, just give me a supplement or give me an herb. It doesn't work that way. And you need to have the strength of conviction and the care and the love for them to say, no, it doesn't work that way. You got to do the work. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to give you step by step so we don't overwhelm you, but I can help you to make these changes that are going to prevent you from getting diabetes, from prevent you from heart disease, and just maybe cancer even is a, if this kind of diet will help prevent this lifestyle. It's not really a diet, right? And again, if they have a lot of emotional stress, they may not have it now. Maybe they have stored trauma from years ago, decades ago. You need to help them get better from that, because that stress, that constant stress in the system, is creating this problem. So You have the power. I want you to step forward. I want you to educate people. I want to give them the tools. And I want you to keep in mind that insulin resistance is not just for the people who have family history of diabetes. 93% of the population has it. So you must help them, and you must help them see this as a priority. Their health is their top priority. So for more in-depth resources for health practitioners, you can visit www.indmethod.com. We have lots of stuff there. Go to the show notes. I'll give you the link for insulin resistance practitioner training and a couple of things that we have that go in more depth into this, and our fasting while feasting program. So go out there, become part of the movement to reinvent healthcare. And until next time, shine on. Thanks for listening to Reinvent Healthcare. We are part of the movement to change healthcare for the better. If you liked this episode, leave a rating and a review. And for more resources to support you in growing a thriving and fulfilling practice, visit our website at inemethod.com.